Success Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Discover our commitment to our clients. At Life and Legacy, building wealth, securing your family's future, giving back, and creating a lasting legacy are not just values, but a way of life. Let us guide you toward a future aligned with what matters most to you. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. Now here's your hosts, Robin Bailey and Al McDonald.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. I'm your host, Robin Bailey, and yes, we are back at it again with my co-host and business partner, Al McDonald. Al, what are you saying these days?
Well, as always, excited when we have a day like today where we get to meet some new people, have some conversation with some previous guests. Always insightful. Today will be no exception as we get to speak with someone that we haven't had on the podcast before. So yeah, just really excited.
Well, it's definitely my favorite day or days of the month. Al and I do this usually more than once a month, Podcast Friday, where we batch record. So we get to talk to a lot of different people all in the same day, back to back, and it usually creates some really good conversations. So joining us today is Sarah O'Brien, and Sarah is the Chief Operations Officer at SMS Security, which is a family-run business that has been serving the GTA for over 37 years. Now, over the past 6 years, Sarah has helped lead the company's continued growth, supporting a team of more than 500 professionals dedicated to keeping clients and communities safe around the clock. Under her leadership, SMS Security has built a reputation for responsive service, collaborative problem solving, and customized security solutions across a wide range of industries. Sarah is especially passionate about developing people, fostering strong teams, and helping the business stay ahead in an industry where trust, speed, and innovation matter every day. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So glad to have you here. And this one is near and dear to my heart because I come from a family business as well. My dad started so many years ago when he first came to Canada and found his way to the insurance. And of course, I grew up thinking, wow, I want to be in insurance. You know, that actually never happened. You kind of fall into in the family business. But I'm always curious to talk, especially with kids that have grown up in a family business as well and eventually gone on to roles like yours. So, you know, growing a family business is one thing, but helping lead one that's been around for quite a long time, that's a whole nother issue. So what's it been like stepping into that legacy and helping to shape the next chapter for your company?
Yeah, it's funny you say that, Robin, because I agree. I never thought I would get into this business, and probably because so many of my summer jobs were being a security guard or cleaning the office. I was actually at TELUS for 12 years before this, and it really made me appreciate how special it is to have a business that you can join. When I first came here, I was really comparing everything to what we did at TELUS and looking for opportunities. It was so easy to find ways to improve and create efficiencies because a lot of what we did was on paper. So I was introducing automations or systems. And then I kind of very quickly started to see that so many of the things that I had silently or I had judged at TELUS, I was now on the other end having to make those difficult calls. So things like people decisions, pay decisions, policies that I didn't always agree with at TELUS, I was at this business being the one that had to make those difficult decisions and announce them to the team. And so it was really kind of an eye-opening aha moment for me. And I also realized, as cliche as it sounds, that it's really lonely at the top. There's nobody to talk through these decisions with. And I looked at my dad and I thought, oh my gosh, for so many years, he really didn't have too many people to bounce these ideas off of. So one thing that I have done over the last year was create a bit of a support network outside the company. So I've joined a CEO peer group. I'm also part of now a Family Business Canada group. And I have an executive coach, and we've brought on some fractional leadership, which has helped provide us with that sounding board and access to different standards and expertise. I think the other thing, when I first came in, I mean, it's a very male-dominant industry, very technical. I don't have a technical background. So it was hard to live up to that. And I would constantly be hearing from people that it used to be better in the old days. We're losing the family feel. We're becoming too corporate. And I would see the way they loved my dad and always really compare myself to that. And it wasn't until recently that I spoke to another second-generation leader who had taken over from her dad. And she said, as a G2 leader, you are a natural disruptor. You have to change the way things operate in order to move forward. And that was so liberating for me. And it was the first time that I really felt permission to own my own identity and who I am as the leader of this business. And I think the last thing too is that's so unique, and Robin, you saw this probably in your business, is that relationship you have with your dad. It'll never go away where I'm wanting his approval or his, you know, commendation on things. And when I first came in, I came in really hot. I was really talking a big game, introducing ways to improve, and we were seeing results. But over the more than 6 years that I've been here, I've made my share of mistakes. And a lot of those mistakes are mistakes I actually judged my dad for making. And recently, there was a mistake where I realized he actually realized I had made it before I did, but he let me come to that conclusion myself. And so it's really given me a different appreciation for him as a dad and also just as a leader who's been able to grow an organization that has been around now for almost 40 years.
Can I tell you, is your dad still around, Sarah?
Yeah, 7 days a week.
7 days a week. I love it.
Okay. Well, you're very lucky. And I'm with you. I wouldn't trade working with my dad for anything in the world. And it was important then when he was alive. It's even more important now that he's gone, right? Just carrying on that legacy. And one of the things that's really important to me, and Al knows this very well, is dad had a certain set of values. And you talked about it, how the clients loved your dad.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that drew me from a young age to the business, because dad would bring me out on some appointments and sometimes I got to go in and sometimes I waited in the car. But I consistently saw people, you know, instead of the handshake, dad would get a hug 90% of the time. And what type of business is this where you're getting a hug? And I mean, a little harder now, we get digital hugs. We don't see people as much in person, but just having that experience to work with your dad. But I've talked to a lot of people who have worked with their parents as well. And you hear some great stories and then you hear some horror stories. I think there's always going to be good and bad in a family business. From your experience, what has been the best part and what's been the worst part? And maybe if there isn't a worst part, what's the not so best part about that family dynamic?
Yeah, I feel so lucky to be in this situation with my dad. So we were close before, but not like this. And I think the best part has been seeing how open he has been to me changing things and seeing the excitement that he has now for the future of the business. He wants SMS to take over like the world. He wants to see our vans everywhere. You know, he's so excited. And that can also be hard because sometimes I see that it must be very hard for him. My dad's 74. And recently I had an employee come, well, I've had a couple come to me and say, I think your dad's kind of forgetting some things. And that's the tough conversation, you know? And I think it's just that he's so involved in so many things, he doesn't want to let anything go. But I think also part of it is how do you, like now as I'm getting older, like you never feel your age. So how do you stop when you see something so exciting and you see the future of it and you want to be a part of that? And how do you pull back? So I think that's been really hard to see. And I mean, I'm not sure what happened in the end for you, Robin, with your dad. But for me, I know my dad has this office that kind of overlooks the company. And I know when whatever happens at the end happens, that will be so hard just to see that. Like there's that constant memory, but also a legacy at the same time.
Sarah, I'm a little curious. It sounds like your dad has been very supportive throughout this transition of having you come into the company. Have you seen or did you experience any pushback from any other people in the company where it's like, oh, dad's still in charge. Sarah's just there because she's, you know, part of the family or whatever. Did you see that? And how did you deal with it?
Yeah. And I will preface it to say my dad is supportive now, but at the beginning he went off salary because he didn't think I would do such a good job. So I had to prove myself. And then when I did, he went back on salary. I've had a lot of pushback. I think both being a female and again, not having the technical expertise, a lot of the technicians, like I've turned over a lot of the workforce because now we're holding people accountable. You know, their time, we can see it and see what they do. So that's been really tough. I think also more recently, my dad and I, we've sort of been running in parallel lanes where it's an unspoken thing that I'm running the company, but he still has the president title and people will still go to him.
Right.
So my goal for this year, and we've talked about it, and again, these conversations with parents can be difficult, but is to really complete the succession. I didn't even really realize that was a term until I started speaking to these people in Family Business Canada. I thought it was just a show, but I was like, oh, I actually have to do that. That needs to be something that we do so that people understand that even if they go to my dad, he's directing them back to me to make the final call. So I would say it's still a journey at the moment. I think a big part of it too has been that we've had a lot of turnover and now I've started to hire in some of my own people. So I have my own levels of trust with people. And there is a different level of excitement now within the company in terms of the direction we're headed in. And so people are kind of either on board or not, but it's just slowly transitioning.
Never an easy thing. And like you say, family dynamics and a lot of stuff at play.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about the business itself? It's, you know, in the security world, I'm sure there's a lot of proactive stuff, but there's also a lot of reactive stuff, I would think. And you're seeing people at some of their worst times where something has transpired and then you have to help them through that. So can you maybe just talk a little bit about that reactive part of it and seeing those situations where people have experienced something that's really gone wrong? How has that shaped the way that you think about how you operate the business, the operations, leadership, customer service, all that type of thing?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, people are calling us at their most vulnerable a lot of the time, and we've all been there as people. Whenever anything breaks in your house, I always think about that. You're always, the first thing you think of is, oh my God, how much is it going to cost? Who do I call? Can I trust them? So I really try to tell the team, like, just put yourself in that situation. That's kind of all the training we need just to deal with it. But then from there, I think trust for us is really key. When you're in that vulnerable state, you're dealing with customers in that vulnerable state, you need to be someone they can trust. So how do we then try to get ahead of what could happen to them again, anticipate things that may come up, not just going there and solving the problem right away, but what are some things that they may not think about that we could help with in the future? And I kind of flip that around for the business too. Like, what are some things that might pop up that could prevent us from providing the best service to our clients? And when we look at the roadmap of where we're headed this year, we're really trying to plan on things like that. What are some things that could take our systems down? How do we plan for that? Take our employees out? How do we plan for that? And I think even as a leader, I was at one of our recent CEO groups, we had a speaker talk about resilience in leaders and the concept of what activities give you energy and what activities take your energy. And it's totally shifted the way I think about my day and scheduling the activities that take your energy either when you know you're going to have the most energy or after activities that give you energy. And that's always going to be different depending on who you are. But just knowing that when you're depleted, you're not going to be the best leader for people and you're not going to be able to make the best decisions.
Can you talk a little bit maybe about, again, we talked about people being really, you know, at their most vulnerable when something has happened. I'm going to assume there's a huge emotional part of it. So, you know, there's the technical stuff, there's the logistics stuff, and I'm sure that's, I don't want to say it's easy, but it's more straightforward to deal with. But the emotional stuff might be a little bit harder to work through. How do you deal with that as a company?
Yeah. So one thing we've always prided ourselves on is we will answer no matter what. Robin, when you talk about your dad and people hugging him, my dad is known for he will be in Europe or he travels all over, but he will always pick up the phone. Late at night, he will always pick up the phone. So just being there for people when they call is huge. And then I think staying calm, you know, walking them through, getting someone there wherever we can. So we do have a mobile patrol team. So when there is something that happens on site, and unfortunately, a lot of the time the police can take a while, depending on the scenario, to show up, we try to get someone there to keep people calm at that time. And then something we're really focused on now is the customer journey and the customer service that we provide. So after the fact, like getting them through that crazy situation, helping them through it, helping them feel better, helping them feel at ease. But then after the fact, following up with, okay, here's what you can expect now or what we can do so that this doesn't happen again.
Your dad and I have that in common. I remember very vividly, I'm sitting in the Caribbean having dinner with my wife and I get a phone call and I recognize the number. So I'm like, oh, okay, it's a client. I'm going to pick it up. And it was his wife who had found my number in his phone and he had passed away.
Oh my gosh.
And I remember sitting on the side of the road.
Wow.
You know, and my wife understood. I said, you know, I'll be a while. And, you know, walking her through what next is. And I remember seeing her after everything was taken care of, the funeral. And she said, you know, you don't know what that meant to me to have someone to talk to at that time. So we talk about success leaves clues, and you just dropped a big one. I mean, that's especially in this day and age, how often you're going to get a 1-800 line. And if someone knows, you know, your dad's, for example, in Italy or Portugal or wherever he happens to be, and it's 5 or 6 hours ahead, depending on, and he's going to pick up that phone and answer the call, I would imagine that that's a huge part of your success. I wanted to pick up on something you said a little bit earlier, because I think it's important in business. I would have to imagine it's super important in your business is trust. And I'm looking at this from the lens of, as a company involved in security, there has to be trust there. So I'm talking about with clients. But also, how do you build that with people on your team? So maybe you could talk about, just from your experience, what do you think other organizations often underestimate about what it takes to build that?
It's interesting because we recently had someone join our team and technically he was amazing. And again, that's the part that I always feel insecure about. So for me, he ticked all those boxes and he could really talk the game. But there was something that was falling down after that. So he would leave great first impressions, but then after that, there was something missing. And when I really looked deeper into it, it was listening. The listening piece and listening with a sense of curiosity. And that itself can be a little bit challenging for me because I often jump to assumptions or I think someone's going to feel a certain way. But what I'm trying to do as a leader and what we're trying to do even as a company when we answer the phone is create more space. So every year I have a word that's like my theme word. And this year it's space. And just giving people more space to talk, which means being comfortable with silence, which is not easy for me, asking another question, really staying in that sense of curiosity, asking more questions. Sometimes that means they'll come to a realization themselves that you maybe wouldn't have or they wouldn't have had you not asked those questions. But it also gives them a safe space to come to you with things. So it's interesting because we're kind of developing a call center. Before we were a bit of a one-man show. And when I first joined the company, I was the one answering the phones. And now we have them all recorded. And when you hear that and you listen back, and I was just doing it with the team yesterday, you start to realize how much you're trying to solve people's problems and jump to things. And there's not a lot of space. And sometimes just, again, back to that calm piece, giving people space, listening to them, allowing them to explain things can really help build their trust and help them feel more at ease.
Al, you'll remember we recently had on Stuart Whittingham and we got a referral to him. Great interview, Sarah. And one of the things he had said to us before he reacts or tries to provide a solution to something, and Al, maybe you remember that. I remember the first two. I don't remember the third, but pause, reflect. And I forget the third. We'll have to go back and listen to that episode. But I like the pause part.
Yeah, I'm going
to
do that.
You know, and giving space to really understand what's going on rather than, because I think we're all guilty of that, Sarah. Like when I hear, I walk into a benefits plan. Oh, here's what you need. Here's, you know, back it up. Let's hear from the person that is living with this benefits plan and understand really what your needs are rather than me coming with all these solutions right away. So that's something that I've been guilty in the past as well. And of course, as you get further on in your career, you do learn the less you say, probably the better that conversation and the better you're able to serve that client, right?
Yeah, totally.
I heard or read a great quote, so I can't take credit for it. But when I heard it, I thought it was very apropos, and especially for our business, but I can see it in your business too. Trust is where kindness and competence intersect.
Oh, that's a good one.
Right. So to your point earlier about the person, the individual who sounded very competent, but maybe there was this kindness element that was missing, right?
Yeah.
And especially in our business, and I'm sure yours, you really need both.
Totally.
Sarah, you've spoken about developing people as a core part of your business. So in an industry like security, where the work is demanding and high stakes, what does great people leadership actually look like on a day-to-day basis?
So I think part of it comes back to the environment we're in, and often emotions can be high. So staying calm is really important. I know I just spoke to that a bit, but for me personally, this sounds so basic, but I just really focus on my breathing. And one thing my coach has had me really also look at is think about just feeling your feet on the ground and just that sense of like staying grounded and staying present and staying in the moment helps me stay calm so that people can come to me, feel that permission again to tell me whatever's gone on. And we can then walk through what we need to do to solve that problem together. And again, I would come back to that energy piece because I'm obviously going to be better in that situation when I know that my energy is in the right space. I think beyond that, like we're a 24/7 company. So our employees are either on call or you're kind of always keeping a finger to your phone to see what might come up. And that's an expectation. It's part of it. It's really how we've won a lot of our business because the people we take care of outside of the 9-to-5 are the people who generally call us back. But I think it's important still to recognize that in the team and to recognize that that is for many industries, it's not part of it. And it's a really important one. And people that bring that to the table are the people that we value. So I always want to make sure we recognize that. I also think being clear with our communication, and this one is a challenge because we have 500 people, 450 of them are at either different sites or working different hours, 24/7. We have 30 people in the office. We have people on the road in vehicles. So I'm always looking at how can I get that message across within different mediums. And it's not going to be the same way for each employee type, but it's important that I make the time. So it takes time and planning to do that. Because if I don't communicate to them what we're trying to do as an organization, they're never really going to feel connected to that. And then I think the last one would be the follow through and consistency, which for me can actually be quite challenging because I really like new, I think Robin, we maybe even spoke about this at one point before, but shiny new things. I love new ideas. Routine doesn't come naturally, but I know that inconsistency erodes your credibility as a leader. So I really need to work on that part of it. And so as an example, this year we looked at our meetings weren't really working for us the way we were running them. So we revamped across the company the way we've scheduled and run our meetings. And I made sure to communicate that company-wide so that I couldn't just fall down. We had to uphold it because there were more people that were aware and knew it was there.
Sarah, one of the things that you talked about a lot there and all great points. I want to go back maybe to one of the things you said first was, and you mentioned this a couple of times, your company is 24/7. Everyone kind of needs to be on the phone or by the phone. And you said that's probably a lot of the reason that you are where you are is because you do respond that way. So I'd like to ask you about maybe the flip side of that, which is how do you make sure that people have some downtime, have some separation, don't burn out because they're constantly, you know, worried about the phone ringing or whatever the case may be?
This is tough. And I don't know, Robin, if you saw this with your dad at all, but my dad is really old school. So he's kind of like, what's burnout? People just, why do they need time off? That's just, you know, so that's something that we've only started to look at recently. I think before, it was kind of just expected and nobody was allowed to complain about it before. But some of what we're doing now is we've introduced a wellness day across the company, except for security guards, but across the company, a day that everybody can take whenever they want, one day a year. And also I have made it very clear in our communications, like my dad loves to email on a Saturday morning or actually all day Saturday or Sunday, but you don't need to respond to that until you come back to work during the week. I myself also often send emails late at night. So just opening that conversation with people in terms of what the expectations are and back to being clear about what our expectations are. And then I often, because there will be nights where our technicians will be at a site until 11 or 12. So just giving them a day in lieu or saying you can start late tomorrow, because I know that especially from a technician level, if you haven't gotten a lot of sleep and you're up on a ladder, safety is number one. So we want to make sure that you're able to come to work in your best state possible.
Sarah, you and I have a very similar lived experience because my dad too came from the old school, and I'll be eternally thankful for the work ethic because I had a brother and sister, my brother since passed away, but we all had an amazing work ethic. And I remember you had to be 12 years old to get a Sunday Sun paper route. And as Tony Robbins would say, when I was 11, I used my personal power, and, aka I lied, to get my, because I wanted to work and I wanted to earn. I've been working for a very long time, and that work ethic certainly came from Dad. I think this has been very eye-opening, and I'm hoping that there's future conversations, because again, I think you and I have that same lived experience, and I'd love to explore that. And if there's an opportunity to meet your dad, I'd certainly, I would love that as well. But I'd love to get to this next question, because I'm so curious. Again, we've asked this question so many times, and I find quite often when there's a family dynamic, this answer is a little bit different. So it's a little more philosophical in nature, and if you're up for it, I'll have Elle take it away.
Yeah, totally.
Wonderful. A society grows great when old persons plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. So can you talk about some of those proverbial trees you might be planting, perhaps with your company and your team, or maybe it's your family and community?
Yes, this is such a tough question. So I know we've spoken about trust a lot today, and trust and integrity is one of my dad's top values. And recently we did a town hall with the company where we talked about our values and how really they haven't changed, just the way we're doing work has. But so that has been really key to the business. I think one thing that I've done and we've done recently is actually put it in our mission. So our mission now is to be the most trusted security solutions provider in the GTA. And so in doing that, we're just trying to hold ourselves more accountable. It's out there. Our customers can call us out on it. Our employees can look at that as a North Star. And so it's just formalizing it a bit more, what my dad sort of started. It's interesting, again, when we speak to the old generation versus new. So my dad and I have very different management and leadership styles. And some of that is generational. Some of that is who we are. Some of that is the stage the business is in. But my dad was and is someone who people come to him with their problems and he solves them. He wants to solve any problem. He has 10 monkeys on his back every day. He's very involved, likes to make a lot of the decisions. And that's really what has gotten the company to where it is. It's why our clients love him. They know they can reach him at any time and they can escalate things to him and he will get involved. But my approach is a little bit different in that we've spent a lot of time talking to the team about what we're trying to do. And I want people to feel empowered to make those decisions, to solve those problems. And my goal with that is really to build a company that is not dependent on any one person, including myself, and that can sustain itself and grow beyond what I could ever do. So I would say that's what I'm trying to do for the company.
That makes a lot of sense. And we hear that more and more as part of having this podcast and the people that we have on the show is empowering your employees to make those decisions and feel that they can and feel that they can make the mistakes. And, you know, it's not punitive. So thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Well, Sarah, this has been great. I know this isn't going to be our last conversation. Our first one was so good that I just knew this would be a great episode, and certainly you didn't disappoint. So I'm actually looking forward to our future conversations as well. And hopefully there's a visit where we get to meet Dad as well, because it would give me memories of my dad. So I'd certainly welcome that if the opportunity presents itself. Well, that does it for today's episode. We really enjoyed this conversation. As always, we hope you did too. If you have any questions for Al or myself, please feel free to give us a call or rejoin the conversation on LinkedIn. We saw it here today. Success leaves clues. We'll see you next time, friends.